الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألا لله الدين الخالص، سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Objective of our life is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make more and more good deeds, to follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we may be able to please our Lord, our Creator, our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the objective of life. To eat, to drink, to sleep, to have a house, to have wife, children, and other things is the need of our life. Need is something different and objective is something different. So the objective is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no matter what is the economic status of a person in this world, he may be a poor person, he may be a ruler of the time, he may be an industrialist person, he may be a manager in the factory, whatever status he has enjoyed in this world, this is connected with the need of the person. The criteria on the Day of Judgment will be whatever he was, whether he spent his lifetime according to the teachings of Islam or not. This will not be the criteria that whether he was a rich person or a poor person, whether he was a scientist, an engineer, or doctor, all these things are connected with our needs. We study in this world because we want to have a better place in the society. But the criteria of successfulness on the Day of Judgment, it will be whether our lifestyle was according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. And that lifestyle is called the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is only one lifestyle. There is no second option. So in each and every action of our life, it can be major or it can be minor, we have to follow the sunnah of the Prophet. We are duty bound to follow this path. You know, sometimes people, they have loyalty of trademark. For example, they like a cereal. So they go on this in the store and we just look at the cereal brand. That is called brand loyalty. They don't want to have anything else. Similarly, on the Day of Judgment, there will be also a brand loyalty. And that brand will be the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The angels will look at our amal, our deeds, and they will just find the stamp of the sunnah of the Prophet. If it will be of this brand, all the actions will be accepted. And if the actions will not be according to the sunnah of the Prophet, they will be straight away rejected. So we should try to watch our life, whether we are spending it according to the sunnah of the Rasulullah. So this is our prime objective. Then there is one intention, that whether we are doing everything to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or to be appreciated in this world by the people. That is called ikhlas. If we do everything to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means that we are sincere in our amal. And if we have a remote idea in our mind that I should become very pious so that people should appreciate me, people should feel that I am very muttaqi person, people should realize who I am, they should know I am a big scholar, I do lot of zikr, I do this and this. If this is the intention in the heart, then all of these amal, even if they are good, apparently, they will be rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why the purpose of life is being explained, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَّاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created the life and death so that He should examine whether we make the best of amal or we do not make. So it has not been told, Ayyukum aksaru amala, that who is doing the most of amal, because that is connected with the quantity. Ahsanu amala means the best of amal, and this is connected with quality. And in this scientific age, every one of us very easily understands that people are very quality conscious. You go in any factory, any office, you will find a special cell, quality control cell. The factory owner will tell the manager, I need quality. My customers need quality. So if we people who have to pay few dollars, we want quality of everything, then if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to give His paradise, whether He will not require the quality of the amal from us. You go to buy an apple, and if the apple is rotten, we are not willing to pay $1 for that. Which is why I am going to pay. And if there is no quality of fruit, I don't want to have it. If we are not willing to pay $1 if the quality is not good, then how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be willing to give paradise to the person whose quality of amal is not good? This is such a topic that every one of us should think on it maybe 1,000 times a day. This is the third step. One is to get knowledge. Second is to act upon it. And the third one is that we should do everything for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the most difficult part of our life. Because sometimes we do many, many good amal, but we destroy it because our intention is not good. We want appreciation from the people. And we destroy our amal. Bhaiji Bastami Rahmatullah Alayh, once he was reciting the Holy Quran, Surah Taha, one of his past friends, he passed by. He kept reciting. But he had in his mind that my friend is listening my recitation of Quran. So in the night when he slept, he saw the dream that there is a book of beads. And Surah Taha has been written in the book of beads with the golden words. He was very happy to see the book of beads. And in dream, he thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted my recitation of this surah. So he thought in his mind, let me go through. So when he turned few pages, he found that there was a page on which few of the verses were missing. He felt a shock. Why there is no verse in this place? So then immediately he thought that, oh, these are the verses that when my friend was passing by, and I was happy in my mind that my friend will be happy to listen my recitation of Quran, so those verses have not been included in my book of deeds. My dear brothers, my respected brothers, this is a very serious point. You will see the people on the day of judgment who have done good amal, which will amount to the size of a mountain. But they will have no weight on the day of judgment because they will not be sincere. You know, in this world, that weight is always equal to mass into gravitational force. If the gravitational force is zero, no matter whatever is the amount of mass, the resultant is going to be zero. So this gravitational force is the sincerity of the person. So the person will come with 99 chapters of his good amal, but all of those will be rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he will not be sincere. Even an alim will be presented in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him, what will you do in your life? And he will reply, oh Allah, I constructed so many madaris and masajid, and I did this and this and this. I worked a lot for the sake of deen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him the reply, yes, you did everything that people should realize. That people should realize that you are a big scholar. So they realized you, they appreciated you. فَقَدْ قِيلَ. Whatever you wanted, you have been paid, you have been given. So there is nothing with us to pay for you. So the angels will be allowed to take him and put him into the fire of hell. So this is the most sensitive part of our life. That whatever we are doing, we should do it only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has been mentioned in Hadith. Annas kulluhum halikun illa al-alimun. That all the human beings, they are going to be halak, means they will be destroyed, except those people who are alim. Wal alimun kulluhum halikun illa al-amilun. And all the ulama, they will be halal except those people who act upon their ill. وَالْعَامِلُونَ كُلُّهُمْ حَالِكُونَ إِلَّا الْمُخْلِصُونَ And those people who are practicing people, they will also be halal except those people who are sincere. وَالْمُخْلِصُونَ عَلَىٰ خَطَرٍ عَظِيمٍ And those people who are very sincere, they are also in danger because shaitan can take them astray before their death. If this is the condition, then it means that we have to be very vigilant about our intentions in our life. All the time. Whereas we are normally very careless. Our way of speaking and our attitude is that if we want to tell something, that we say, when I went for my fifth Hajj, I did this and this. Now, if the question is asked, why we mentioned fifth Hajj? That's how shaitan betrays us. We just want to tell the people, I have made five Hajj. So look at this. Appreciation of few moments by the people, but in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of these five Hajj, they will be null and void. This is very important, sensitive part of our life. That we should try to do everything to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be worried about that. And that's why those people who are really pious people, muttaqi people, they hide their amal from the people. They don't want that anyone should know whatever they are doing. Like we people, we commit sin these days with our one hand so that the other hand should not know what we are doing. In the same way, our ancestors, they used to make good amal with their right hand so that the left hand should not know. And these days, we do not only tell that what we have done, no. If we have intention to do something, we start telling the people, I want to do this and this. I have the intention to do this and this. We are telling the people which we have not done yet. We have just intention in our mind. Look at this, what we are doing. It's a very sensitive part. At the time of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, their people were really very great people. They knew how to keep their amal secret from other people. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he once came to see Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala. He found a list of people, those people who were senior citizens of the society, who were handicapped people, they wanted help from the others. So he found that the names were written and the person who took the responsibility to serve them, the name of that person was also written. So he went throughout the list. He found the name of an old woman. And no name was written in front of that. So Umar Azilano, he thought in his mind that let me do the khidmat of this old woman. So he took the address of the woman, and next day after making his fajr prayer, he straight away went to the house of that woman. He knocked the door and told her that I have come here to serve you. What I can do for you? Can I fetch water from somewhere to your house? Can I clean your house? Can I do anything for you? The woman replied that yes, someone is coming regularly and he is doing all these amal, these jobs for me. The woman asked, what is the name? She said, I do not know the name. Who is that person? She said, I do not know. The person comes and knocks the door and tells me to be in, to make parda. So I make parda, I go inside the room. He comes in my house, he does everything and goes back. I do not know his face, I do not know his name. And he is coming regularly since many, many days. So Umar Lalo, he was very shocked. He said, okay, let me come before Fajr to know who is this person, great person. So next day Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he prayed his tahajjud and came to the house of that woman. Again knocked the door. There was the same reply that someone came and he did the khidmat. Umar Lalo said, oh, okay, let me come more early next night. So next day, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he prayed his Isha prayer and then came and sat down in the way in such a position that he was hiding himself. No one could see him. And he could see everyone coming to the door of that old room. So when it was deep night, midnight, complete darkness, visibility very low, then Umar Lano found that some person was coming very quietly, very silently, and approaching to the door of that woman. So when he came nearby, then Umar Lano, he stood up. And he said, Man Anta, who are you? And in return, he listened the voice of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar Lano, the caliph of the time, that I am Abu Bakr. Umar Lano was astonished. He said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, you are here to make khidmat of this old woman? He said, yes. Then Umar Lano, he found that he was barefooted. There was no shoe, there was no shoe in the feet of the Amir al-Mu'mini. Then he said, Amir al-Mu'mini, you had no shoes or you left it at your home? Then Siddiq al-Mu'mini, he replied that, you know, this is a time people are sleeping. I left my shoes in my house so that no one person's sleep should be disturbed due to the noise of my feet. Look at this. These people knew how to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. Whereas we people, we are always beating the drum. Oh, we did this and this and this. Oh, people, you should know I am this and this. If this is our condition, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept our amal. So we should try to hide our amal from the other people if we are sincere. There was a big scholar, Safi Abu Layth Samarkandi, Rahmatullah. Once someone asked him, that Hazrat, we have listened the word ikhlas, khulus. We know the meaning. But can you make us understand this word through some example so that we should really understand it? He said, oh, you know the shepherd who has goats. He said, yes. Then he replied that if sometimes this shepherd has to offer the prayer in between the goats, then if he is offering his prayer, does this shepherd have in his mind that after my prayer, the goats will appreciate me? He said, no. He will never have in his mind that after his prayer, completion of the prayer, the goats will appreciate him. He said exactly in the same way. If the sincere person is making ibadat, worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in between the people, then he has no idea in his mind that after my worship, the people will appreciate me. So like this, we should not have any hope from the people that they should appreciate us. No. In our mind, we should have the only one single hope, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appreciate. If without ever intention, people are appreciating, so that's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is giving us respect. And that's what happens. One of the wali, he used to say that those people who want their name, they do many, many awal, but they could not make their name famous. Whereas those people who don't want their name, they want to hide their amal, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes the names of those people famous in the world. So if anyone person wants to become famous, the best way is to hide himself. We will not expose ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expose ourselves in between the people. Even if some person locks the door, sits inside the room, remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he does not tell anyone whatever he has done, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take all the noor of those amal and put on the face of this person. So the face of the person will tell what he is doing in his private. Look at the faces of awliya. You will feel as if their faces is just like a rose. Their faces are just like the flower. Their faces are so attractive. They have such a magnetism, such a magnetic personality. What is that? That magnetism, that flux comes through the ibadat and the private. So our duty is that we should do every amal only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will be criteria on the day of judgment. And it's in one of the hadith that if any person he makes any amal, then one of the angels he takes this amal to present it in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He climbs on the sky. Then the first door on the first sky, there's a door that's closed. So this angel, he knocks the door. There's a security guard. He asks, Man dakhal bab, who is knocking the door? He replies that I am here, I want to take this amal to present it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, okay, let me check it. So this angel checks the amal, whether this person did it only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. So this is the first check post. And if this malaika, he feels, yes, he did to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he lets him go. And on the second sky, same thing happens. On the seventh sky, there are seven check posts. And the seven angels, they check minutely whether this amal has been done only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. And after seventh post, it is presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in its hadith, in hadith, that then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is alimul ghaib, and He looks at this amal, and with His ilm ghaib, He knows what was the intention of the person. If the intention was only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is not accepted, otherwise it's straight away rejected. So the matter is very serious, my brother, very serious. If we look at it, then we will feel sometimes that we have wasted a lot of our amal in our life. We take so much trouble, we do so much painstaking, but then the return will not be anything because we showed up. We wanted appreciation from the people. No matter the amal is very small, the magnitude is not important. You know, there are jewels, diamonds, very small in size. They are not sold in kilograms. They are sold in less than even grams. Very small in size. But how much is the cost? even if we work throughout the year, we cannot earn this much money to get one diamond. Sometimes they are so costly. So what is that? There is quality. So it means that quantity is not the matter, it's the quality which is required. Zubeda Khatun, she was the princess of her time, and her husband's name was Harun Rashid. Harun Rashid was also a good person, relatively a better person, but Zubeda, she was really a very pious lady, a waliya of her time. She used to live in the palace, but she was really a waliya. She was the lover of Quran. So that's why she appointed 300 women who remembered the Holy Quran. And then she allocated them different places in her palace. And the duty was that 8 hours, all of them, they should recite the Holy Quran. So in his palace, in her palace, if someone has to go from one corner to the other, throughout the palace, he used to have the voice of Quran coming in the ear throughout the palace. She was a very kind personality. She did a lot of good amal. One of them was that she came to know that from River Furat up to Maidan-e-Arafat, where we make our Hajj, people used to go for Hajj, to perform Hajj, and in between there was no water available at all. And people told her that those Hujjaj who want to make Hajj, they have to take the water with their own luggage. They have to carry the water with them. Now look at this. How much water we require every day for our prayers, for our making wudu, for our taharat, and what water we need for our drinking. And for the animals on which they are riding, horse or camel. If we see the amount of water for 1 month going and 1 month coming, it's a lot of water. That's why sometimes people, they used to waste water, and then even the animals, they used to die. The people, they used to die. They were thirsty and thirsty, and they had no single drop of water to drink. So due to this reason, lot of people who wanted to go for Hajj, they could not go because they could not bear so much hardship. So when she came to know, she said, okay, let me talk to my husband. She talked to her husband and she said that this is my wish, that there should be some way to make the water available. Harun Rashid, he replied, okay, let me see it. Then he consulted his engineers and they said that yes, we can fetch water from this place to that place. And it was more than 1,000 miles distance. It was the state-of-the-art project of that time. So the Muslim engineers, they worked on it, until a time came when the water of Dajla and Farat, it was fed to Maidan-e-Arafat, where we make our Hajj. So the people were so happy. This is called Nehr-e-Zubaydah, the canal of Zubaydah. So now the people used to travel on the bank of this canal. Whenever they wanted to have water, they had it. And they used to make dua for Zubeda Khatun. They used to pray for her. Thousands and thousands of people, they prayed for her. And people, they had the opinion, oh, she will be successful on the Day of Judgment only due to this one amal. A time came when Zubeda Khatun, she died. Then someone saw her in dream. He asked her, Zubeda, what happened to you? She replied that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been merciful upon me. He said, yes, because you did a wonderful job. a good amal, you deserved it. She said, no, no, I have not been forgiven due to this amal. Then he said, why? She replied that when this amal was presented in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that she ordered that this and this canal should be made, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he replied that she just passed on the order and the resources from the prayer were used and there were people who worked hard and they were sweating and they did lot of painstaking. Bring me something in which she has taken the painstaking herself for me. And she replied, when this was the criteria, that bring me something in which she has taken some pain for me. Oh, I was surprised. I felt, oh, today I will not be successful. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was merciful upon me. He said, yes, your one amal is with us. That you did for us. What was that amal? Once you were hungry and you were sitting down on the dasturkhan to eat food. So you took one piece of bread to take in your mouth, but your hand was in the way. You want to put that piece of bread in your mouth. Suddenly, from the masjid, there was call of azan. And you listen the word, Allahu Akbar. When you listen this word, then you thought in your mind that your dupatta, your chadar, sheet of cloth on your head is halfway on your head. It's not covering the whole head. So you left your piece of bread down and first you covered your whole head due to the respect of my name. And then you eaten the bread. So this delay in eating the bread has been made only for my respect. I love this amal, so I forgive all the sins of your sins. So look at this. Very small amal. Even she did not remember it. But it was written in the Namayama. So on the day of judgment, there will be so many amal which we even do not know and remember. And those will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not the quantity, it's the quality. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Who one of you makes the best of amal? So that's why we should try to make our amal more and more good. And we should try to hide it from the people. And we should try to do it only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should have no expectation from the people. Only one expectation, and that is that our Lord, our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he should be happy with us. So if this will be the condition, we will never boast in our life. We will never expose our amal to others. Oh, you do not know me, who I am. Why we do this? Because we do not realize. So we should try to make our amal with more and more ikhlas, with more and more sincerity. That's very important. So that's why, let me tell you one, two more instances, and then I should conclude. That one, the Muslim ruler, he conquered a big country. After a few days, one soldier came to him and he has a crown of the king of that country in his hand. He uncovered it because he covered it with the sheet of cloth and gave it to the ruler and said, that I found this crown in the battlefield I took it. No one knew it. Because it is amana. So I have brought it to you. Please accept it. Now this crown, it was so precious that many, many diamonds and pearls were fitted on this crown. So the ruler was taken aback. That if this soldier, he kept this crown and he used to take one diamond and used to sell it, even his coming 21 generations, they could live on that. But this ordinary soldier seems to be a poor person. How great he is, that no one knows who has it, but still he is bringing it and he is giving it to me. So he wanted to know the name of this soldier. So he asked him, what's your name? So when he asked, what's your name? So this soldier, he turned his back towards that ruler and replied that I want the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he wrote my name and he left the place. This for you. How to do anything for the pleasure of Allah. That I did this for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he knows my name. I don't need to tell you. And he left the place. If we think about ourselves, if we have done this much amal, then we could have expected, oh, announcement should be made. This person did this and this. So that habit needs to be rectified. We should try to do everything to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was one big wali, Abu Umar Mujahid rahmatullah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him very, very wealthy person, rich person. So once the rule of the time, he wanted to do something for the betterment of the community. But lot of funds were required for that. So he contacted Abu Umar Nujair. And he said that, Hazrat, I want to do this and this for the betterment of the society, community. So can you contribute something? Abu Umar Nujair rahmatullah alayh, he contributed 200,000 dinar of that time. So 200,000 dinar of that time, it was a very big amount, like maybe billions of dollars of this time. So when he contributed this, the ruler was very happy. So next day he called the other rich people and he motivated them. That I have to do this and this, I need your help, please help me to do this. And at the same time he quoted that Abu Umar Nujair, he contributed this and this. Oh, Abu Umar Nujair, he was sitting, when he listened that he has quoted, he straightway stood up. And he said that, please, I remember that I gave it to you without the consent of my mother. So can you give it to me back so that I should be able to get the permission of my mother? So he took all the money back. So all the people who were appreciating in their mind that Abu Umar Nujair did a very good amal, now they were criticizing. Oh, what type of person this is? He is taking the money back. So everyone, he looked at it with very different glances. But when the people left, and there was no one. And the ruler was alone. Abu Anujair, he came back again. And he said, I contributed this for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you wanted to kill me. I saved myself. And with this excuse, I took the money back so that people should know I have taken. I am giving you back. Please don't tell anyone that I have contributed for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we look at this, we see a hell of difference in our life and in the life of our ancestors.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Imam Zainul Abidin rahmatullah alayh, when he died, the person who was giving him ghusl, the last bath, he found that on his shoulder there was a black spot. Why there is a black spot? No one knew. So he contacted the family. Because he was very beautiful, very beautiful personality. So the black spot, it was very significant. No family member even knew why this spot was there. People were surprised. So this personality, he was buried. After 1 week, then a voice came from the houses of those people who were needy, who were elderly, who were handicapped. Oh, where is that person who used to bring and fetch water in our house? Then people came to know that in his life, in the night, he used to have a bucket of leather on his shoulder and fill it with the water and supply the water to the poor people. But he did everything in such a way, throughout his life, no one could know what he is doing. If these personalities will come with this quality of amal on the Day of Judgment, then what we will have in our own hands? Have we done something like that? The answer will be, we need improvement in this life. And that's why I chose this topic. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make good amal, but to do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that we don't expect from anyone that he is going to. Last thing. I remember one instance. Once I was a general manager. There was an engineer and he came to me and he said that I am very tight financially. And I have to pay this loan and this bill and this. And he was really very depressed. At the same time, a person from the accounts branch came to me and he talked to me and he told him, oh, I found your two watches with the hands of the cashier. I think you have some amount in the accounts branch, maybe some PADA or something like that. But I have seen some vouchers with your name in the account. So this person, he was very happy. That I am really in need of some funds. And if there is some voucher in the account branch with my name, then let me go and get the amount. So very happily, he left me. But within 10 minutes, he came back crying. I asked him, what happened to you? He said that, Hazrat, when I went to the cashier, then he said, yes, I found two of your vouchers, they are here. When he looked at both of them, then the stamp was on the paper that these have been paid. So because these have been paid, prepaid, so he never owed anything. There was nothing due. So he came back. So he was crying. I listened to him and I also started crying. He looked at me, he said, Hazrat, why you are crying? I said, I got one lesson today. You had expectation that you have a voucher, but when you found out, it was paid off. Similarly, the person who will make good amal, to show the people, he will have the amal in his book of deeds, but they will be paid off amal on the day of death. They will expect, Allah give us the reward, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell them, oh, my humble servant, all of these vouchers are paid off. Nothing with us. What will happen? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do everything only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we have made mistakes in our past, and surely we have made mistakes, we accept. Then we accept forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is so great, that He just becomes so merciful, then He can forgive all mistakes of our life. And He can give us the tawfiq to make our good amal in our future life. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. Before dua, just for a few minutes make dhikr qalb. Just close your eyes, be attentive towards your heart and feel as if your heart is saying Allah, Allah, Allah. آنکھوں کو بند کر لیجئے, سر کو جھکا لیجئے, دنیا جو کچھ دنیا میں ہے اس سے ہٹ کر کے اللہ تعالیٰ کی یاد میں ڈوب جائیے. انسان جب اپنے اندر جھانکتا ہے اسے اپنی اصل تصویر نظر آتی ہے. اپنے من کے دریچے کو کھولیے, اپنی اصل تصویر کو دیکھیے. ایک نشہ سا ہے جو چھائے ہے تیرے نام کے ساتھ, ایک نشہ سا ہے جو چھائے ہے تیرے نام کے ساتھ, ایک تسلی سی بھی آئے ہے تیرے نام کے ساتھ, ایک نشہ سا ہے جو چھائے ہے تیرے نام کے ساتھ, ایک تسلی سی بھی آئے ہے تیرے نام کے ساتھ, عنبر و عود لتائے ہے تیری یاد جمیل, عنبر و عود لٹائے ہے تیری یاد جمیل, ایک خوشبو سی بھی آئے ہے تیرے نام کے ساتھ, عنبر و عود لٹائے ہے تیری یاد جمیل, ایک خوشبو سی بھی آئے ہے تیرے نام کے ساتھ, گویا کونین کی دولت کو سمیٹا اس نے, دل کی دنیا جو بسائے ہے تیرے نام کے ساتھ, گویا کونین کی دولت کو سمیٹا اس نے, دل کی دنیا جو بسائے ہے تیرے نام کے ساتھ, ہے تیرا ذکر حلاوت میں کچھ ایسا کہ زبان, ہے تیرا ذکر حلاوت میں کچھ ایسا کہ زباں, ایک نیا ذائقہ پائے ہے تیرے نام کے ساتھ, ہے تیرا ذکر حلاوت میں کچھ ایسا کہ زباں, ایک نیا ذائقہ پائے ہے تیرے نام کے ساتھ, خوب کیا عشق الہی کا اثر ہوتا ہے, خوب کیا عشق الہی کا اثر ہوتا ہے, روح بھی وجد میں آئے ہے تیرے نام کے ساتھ, एक नशा सा है कि छाए है तेरे नाम के साथ, एक तसल्ली सी भी आए है तेरे नाम के साथ। हश्र क्या होगा भला उनका तेरी दीद के दिन, हश्र क्या होगा भला उनका तेरी दीद के दिन, जिनका दिल जोश में आए है तेरे नाम के साथ। हश्र क्या होगा भला उनका तेरी दीद के दिन, हश्र क्या होगा भला उनका तेरी दीद के दिन, जिनका दिल जोश में आए है तेरे नाम के साथ। खूब जी भर के जो करता है तेरा जिक्र फकीर, खूब जी भर के जो करता है तेरा जिक्र फकीर, दिल की तस्कीन बढ़ाए है तेरे नाम के साथ, एक नशा सा है जो छाए है तेरे नाम के साथ, एक तसल्ली सी भी आए है तेरे नाम के साथ। हमारी खताओं की दरगुजर फरमा, हमारे ऐबों की बदर खुशी फरमा, अल्लाह हमारी निगाहों को पाक फरमा, हमारे दिलों को साफ फरमा, हमारे सीनों को अपनी मोहब्बत से लबरेज फरमा, अपने इश्क की आतिश हमारे सीनों में पैदा फरमा, हमारे अंग अंग से अपने जिक्र को जारी फरमा, रुए रुए से अपने जिक्र को जारी फरमा, हड्डी हड्डी मोटी मोटी में अपनी मोहब्बत पैदा फरमा। अल्लाह हमने अब तक जो अमाल किए दिखावे के जरिए उनको जाया कर बैठे, रियाकारी के जरिए जाया कर बैठे, ऐ मालिक हम पर रहम फरमा, हमें इन अमलों से महरूम न फरमा, आइंदा हमें निकुकारी या इखलास वाले अमाल नसीब फरमा। ऐ अल्लाह हमारे हाल पर रहमत फरमा, अल्लाह हमारी हालत उस बंदे की सी है जिस काफिले कुत्ताओं ने लूट लिया हो, लुटे हुए इंसान से तो लोगों को भी रहम आता है, अल्लाह हमें शैतान ने रियाकारी के जरिए लूटा, अल्लाह हमारे किए हुए हम लोगों को जाया करवा दिया, अल्लाह आप भी हम पर रहम फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह हम पर रहम की नज़र फरमा दीजिए, रब करीम हम पर करम की नज़र फरमा दीजिए, तेरी एक निगाह की बात है मेरी जिंदगी का सवाल है, अल्लाह इससे पहले कि हमारी आंखें बंद हो जाएं हमारी मन की आंखें खुलने की तौफीक अता फरमा दीजिए, इससे पहले कि लोग हमें कफन पहना दें अल्लाह हमें तकवा की पोशाक पहनने की तौफीक अता फरमा दीजिए, रब करीम क़यामत तक आने वाली हमारी नस्लों के ईमान की हिफाजत फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह हम अपने बच्चों को पढ़ने काम करने के लिए घरों से दूर भेज देते हैं, अल्लाह आप करीब होते हैं हम दूर होते हैं, अल्लाह इन बच्चों की दाएं बाएं से हिफाजत फरमाइए, आगे पीछे से हिफाजत फरमाइए, इनके ज्ञान की हिफाजत फरमाइए, ईमान की हिफाजत फरमाइए, इज्जत आबरू की हिफाजत फरमाइए, अल्लाह औलाद के दुखों से बचा लीजिए, औलाद के गमों से बचा लीजिए, अल्लाह औलाद के गमों से बचा लीजिए, अल्लाह रहमत का मामला फरमा दीजिए, ऐ मालिक हमारी इन दुआओं को अपनी रहमत से कबूल फरमा लीजिए, रब करीम अपनी रहमत का मामला फरमा दीजिए, ऐ अल्लाह हमारी इन दुआओं को अपनी रहमत से कबूल फरमाइए, जिन दोस्त अहबाब ने मर्दों ने या औरतों ने दुआओं के लिए पैगाम दिए या तवक्कुआत हमसे रखते हैं अल्लाह सबकी नेक हाजात को पूरा फरमा दीजिए। हमारे वालदैन अजीज अकारिब मशायख दोस्त अहबाब जो दुनिया से फौत हो चुके अल्लाह उनकी मगफिरत फरमा दीजिए और जिनकी आपने मगफिरत कर दी कुर्ब के आला दराजात अता फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह हमारे दोस्तों ने जिस मोहब्बत के साथ ये प्रोग्राम रखवाया उसके बदले उनको अपनी सच्ची मोहब्बत अता फरमा दीजिए और जितने दोस्त दूर करीब से यहाँ आए अल्लाह सबके दामन को अपनी रहमतों से भर दीजिए और सबको खुशियों के साथ बख्शी बख्शी वापस लौटा दीजिए। रब करीम हमारे उठे हाथों को कबूल फरमा दीजिए। ऐ अल्लाह जिस महफिल में कितने नौजवान हैं सच्ची तौबा करना चाहते हैं तेरे मालिक गर्म खून की माफिया मांग रहा है अल्लाह इनके उठे हाथों को कबूल कर लीजिए। ऐ अल्लाह अगर आपने इनको खाली जता दिया शैतान भटकाएगा नफ्स भटकाएगा जवानियां जाया हो जाएंगी। ऐ अल्लाह जाया होने से बचा लीजिए। अल्लाह इस महफिल में कितने छोटे छोटे मासूम बच्चे हाथ बैठे हैं ऐ हमारे मालिक हम आपको उनके हाथों के मासूम हाथों का वास्ता देते हैं अल्लाह उनके हाथों को खाली लौटा देगा और उनकी बरकत से हम गुनहगारों के हाथों को भी कबूल फरमा लेगा। रब करीब इस महफिल में कितनी मस्तूरात हैं जो हाथ उठाए बैठी हैं दामन फैलाए बैठी हैं अल्लाह उनकी भी दुआएं कबूल फरमा लीजिए। अल्लाह वो अपने दिल का गम किसको कहें किसको जाकर सुनाए आप ही चीजों के बेहद जानने वाले हैं अल्लाह उनके दिल के दुख दूर कर दीजिए दिल की परेशानियां दूर कर दीजिए। अल्लाह हमने तो दुनियादारों को देखा अगर किसी घर की औरतें चल के आ जाए कत्ल के मुकदमे भी माफ कर दिया करते हैं आप तो हकमुल हाकिमीन हैं अरहमुर राहिमीन हैं। अल्लाह आपकी बंदियां अपने घरों से चल के आपके घर में आई बैठी है माफी चाहती हैं अल्लाह जो गुनाह हुए माफ फरमा दीजिए और आइंदा अपनी रहमत का सहारा अता फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह हमारे हाथ गुनाह के लिए उठना चाहे उठे हाथों को वापस कर दीजिए कदम गुनाह के लिए उठना चाहे उठे कदमों को वापस कर दीजिए। अल्लाह हमें गुनाहों की जिल्लत से बचा लीजिए और ताआत की इज्जत अता फरमा दीजिए आने वाले वक्त गुजरे वक्त से बेहतर फरमा दीजिए। रब्बना तक़बल मिन्ना إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى حَبِيبِهِ سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ.